We know that it is as important to have the right question as it is to have the right answer. And we have questions like, are we there yet? That we ask on a long road trip. But then there are other larger questions that lead us to purpose and meaning in our lives. Like the question the lawyer asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, well, what is written in the law? And the lawyer says, well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, that is correct. But then, without understanding the full ramifications of what he was about to say, the lawyer, trying to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? And that is one of those larger questions that can lead us to purpose and meaning in our lives. Comes from the story of the Good Samaritan that we know quite well, where that injured traveler is over there on the side of the road, and then he is shocked, as are the priest and Levite, that the person who stops to help is a Samaritan. Because Samaritans, at best, were second-class citizens. Their heritage goes back to when the Assyrians, the enemy of Israel, invaded northern Israel, and the people began living together, marrying and having children, and that was highly criticized. And then to complicate matters worse, there was that political division between northern and southern Israel, fueling further prejudice. And in addition to all of those dynamics, out of all of this emerged differences and disagreements in matters of faith, that the Samaritans recognized a different temple, a different place of worship than the one in Jerusalem. So Samaritans were not as worthy as others, always seen as outsiders. So when Jesus tells this story, pointing out the goodness of the Samaritan, everyone is shocked. And it changes the answer to the question, who is my neighbor? That it alters all of those assumptions we make about what or who is important. Like when we overhear someone say, well, she's an art teacher, so she doesn't really work hard for a living. Or, you know, the activist, he causes far more trouble than he ever helps. Or the addict, that she's just used up all of her second chances. Or the young person, you know, she's naive and has a lot to learn. Or even a loved one who, in the wake of a mistake, still lives on the margins of our family. That the answer to the question, who is my neighbor, changes all of those things. Bill Leonard, church historian and good friend to this congregation, reminds us to stop Samaritizing others. All those judgments and assumptions that limit the answer to the question, who is my neighbor? Because it's with that question in the background that Jesus steps on to that level ground and says, blessed are the poor, for they will inherit the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry, for they will be filled. Now, this is the Gospel of Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount that we find in the Gospel of Matthew, except it doesn't take place on a mountain. Luke says Jesus came down from the mountain where he was praying and stepped onto level ground. So Luke calls this the Sermon on the Plain. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? But Luke makes a couple changes. Whereas Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, Luke just says, blessed are the poor. And whereas Matthew says, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, Luke just says, blessed are the hungry. That Luke is focused in on that level ground on which we all stand before God, and where no one is more important than another. As one author says, when God's love is present, there are no outsiders. In her book, Amazing Grace, Kathleen Norris tells the story of moving to Hawaii in 1959 because her father was in the Navy. So she had to change schools yet again. And it was in the summertime right before she was to enter in the seventh grade. The only problem was the school that she would be attending in the seventh grade was using the same textbook that she used in her previous school in the sixth grade. So her parents made the decision to enroll her in the Panahu Academy there in Hawaii, a very respected college preparatory school. The only problem with this, though, is the seventh grade was already full. So she was placed on a waiting list. Eventually, she would be able to start the seventh grade in the middle of the year. But growing up in Hawaii meant that everybody knew everyone. They went to school together their entire lives. So the student body was less than welcoming when a new student started mid-year. And Norris says, which will come as no surprise to any of us who have attended the seventh grade, that she didn't feel quite comfortable in her own skin. And her first week at school in the middle of the year did not help. That a few days in, she overheard three girls talking about her in the bathroom, tearing her apart, piece by piece. They talked about her hair, her weight, her clothes, her voice, and then all of a sudden, the three girls realized she was in the bathroom, and they ran back to class. I really cannot imagine the feeling of walking back through the hallways, opening the door back to the classroom, knowing those three girls were in the room, but you didn't know who they were. That Samaritizing others causes crippling wounds. David McCullough is an English teacher at the Wellesley High School in Boston, Massachusetts. And in 2012, he was asked as a faculty member to give the commencement address. Interestingly, before he moved to teach at that school in Boston, he taught at the Panahu Academy in Hawaii, although he never had Norris as a student. But he gave an unusual commencement address. He said, "Today we all stand on a level playing field." Quite literally, they were on the football field of the school. He said, "I know that you are all different, but today you all graduate on the same level ground. For instance, your graduation robes, they're shapeless, one size fits all, uniform, whether male or female, scholar or slacker, tall or short, each of you is dressed exactly the same. And your diplomas, except for your name, they are identical. Because none of you is special. It's not your normal commencement address." He says, "You are not special, despite what your U9 soccer trophy suggests or your glowing seventh grade report card." At first, admittedly, I was taken aback, but I leaned in a little bit closer. If we are not special, then we all stand on level ground from which Jesus speaks and grace is found. And then he said, "A fulfilled life is what happens when you're thinking about more important things than yourself. Climb the mountain, not to plant the flag, but to embrace the challenge, behold the view, and enjoy the air. Climb the mountain so you can see the world, not so the world can see you." That it is not what we do or what we accomplish that truly matters. It is serving something greater than ourselves. That is where we find purpose and meaning. It is how we answer the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Can we say, "Blessed are the poor, and blessed are the hungry"? That none of us are special, but all of us are children of God, loved beyond imagination, held with a sacred purpose, and cared for each and every day. Which means the answer to the question, "Who is my neighbor?" is always bigger than we might expect. Amen.